I'm gone. Nothing but blue skies from now on. Nothing but blue skies, nothing but blue skies from now on.
When the sun is high in the afternoon sky, you can always find something to do. But from dusk till dawn, as the clock ticks on, something happens to you. In the wee small hours of the morning, while the whole wide world is fast asleep, you lie awake and think about the girl and never ever think of counting sheep. When your lonely heart has learned its lesson, you'd be hers.
Okay, good afternoon. I'd like to call to order the Design Review Board meeting of Tuesday, November 12th. Can we start with a roll call, please?
Member Clinton?
Present.
Member Fullerton?
Present.
Member Smith?
Present.
Member Whalen?
Here.
Vice Chair Schellenberger? Chair Smith. Chair Smith. Chair Branch.
Here. All right, let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States Republic, for which it's okay, at this time, public shall have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. Anybody want to speak? All right, seeing none, we will go to the administrative agenda and the review and approval of our last meeting's minutes. Could I get a motion for the minutes?
A motion to approve the minutes.
Any discussion?
Yes, please. For on page, well, it says page 3 of 5.
Okay.
Last paragraph of, in the middle of the page. I'd like to request a change that, where it ends with which he believes. The new wording would be, it does not conform to Old Town Goleta guidelines. period, rather than what's said there.
So read the sentence as you would like it to appear.
Which he believes it does not conform to Old Town Goleta guidelines, period.
You're saying the business is 805 clothing,
conform to Old Town guidelines. Okay, that makes sense.
So you want all that to go out and just have to say, also, it does not.
No, also, just no. Which he believes it does not conform to Old Town Goleta guidelines, period.
Okay. We'll put heritage guidelines just to.
The 805 clothing,
okay.
Which you believe would be the proper thing to say.
Okay. The sign does not.
The sign does not,
yeah. Okay, we got it.
All right, anybody else?
I'm sorry.
No? Who seconded that? Did we get a second? Somebody want to second the...
I'll second. Sorry.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
The
Aye.
Minutes are approved. All right. Takes us to A2, review of agenda.
Yes, good afternoon, Chair and members. We do not have any changes on the agenda today. Your next meeting, which is scheduled for November 26, will be canceled. We don't have any items for that meeting, and also conveniently, it is Thanksgiving week. So your next meeting will be in December 10th. And if we could please, just coming around the holidays, let me know if you're going to be absent or a little dicey with quorum these days. And just so you know how the quorum works, we need two residents and two professionals. So that would be an architect and a landscaper or two mm-hmm. architects. Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right, that takes us to our first item, sign review.
Sign review is for the new Target building wall signage located at 6875 and 6865 Hollister Avenue, case number 19-134 DRB.
Has everybody visited the site?
Site visit, no expertise.
Same here?
Site visit, no expertise.
Site visit, no expertise.
Same here.
Okay. Joe, the floor is yours, sir.
Good afternoon. Today we have a request for essentially revised signage for the Target building, which recently opened. The rest of the signage will remain the same, but they're proposing to change their primary sign along Hollister. The existing signage is in conformance with the overall sign plan. The proposed signage would be, or the bullseye would be smaller than the OSB current allows, which is 14 feet. The proposed one is 8 feet. However, this is before you because the sign text is proposed to be taller than what is currently allowed. They're proposing 5 feet, 4 inches, as opposed to the 3 feet, 7 inches, which was approved under the overall sign plan. And just to kind of go into the overall sign plan, signage on the site is not required to come before the design review board, as long as it's in conformance with the OSP. However, when they are asking for something that is outside of it, then it needs to be reviewed by the design review board. So that's why we're here today. So I can hand over to the applicant.
Essentially, we're looking at smaller bullseye, larger text.
In different location.
And yeah, and relocated. Okay, yeah. Got it.
Say the numbers again on the difference between the OSB and the proposed size of the lettering. I looked in here, but it just says the wall sign with 11-foot white bullseye logo, 121 square feet.
It's in the text.
Oh, there's the white. Okay, sorry. 3.7 is on the same.
Okay. Introduce yourself and proceed.
Board members, my name is Bill Huntress. I am an architect for Target. With me is Jesus Mora.
Yeah, Jesus Mora. I'm an agent for the Swain Sign sign contractors.
And Swain and Federal Heat Signs worked with us on this particular bill.
Give me that.
So if you've seen a different face in the past, that's because Mike Weekesser, who was working on this particular project, is no longer working with Target. So I'm filling in for him. I did the Target in Santa Barbara, the two-story one. So, and I'm familiar with this project because I started out working on it, and then Mike took it over. I was just at the site, and actually I really like it other than the one particular sign that we're talking about. So I guess the go back for Target is that we would like to have your consideration in allowing us to move the sign over the main entrance, which I think is a logical place for it to be. My understanding is it was put off to the side originally because of these viewpoints from along Hollister. There was some fairly high vegetation and trees, and at the time there was kind of a view corridor that maybe that made more sense. But at this point, the parking lot landscaping has been redone, and it just, frankly, it looks odd. And I think it makes a lot of sense to have it located in a horizontal format rather than a stacked format, and have it placed right in the middle of the building so that when you pull in and people for Target, it's about no confusion for our guests. We just want people to be able to pull in and understand that they're headed in the right direction. And when the sign's off to the side like that, I think a lot of people would probably even miss it. So. We've got some, Jesus has got some various renderings, and then we also brought a day and an evening shot, I think, that was requested that shows the existing condition. Day shots.
You know what, I have a small
yeah.
Night shot, if you guys need to.
Oh,
that's right, I'm sorry.
Here, can I see that one, the blue one?
I don't know if both will fit or not.
That one probably fit. It's a pretty small rectangle, it looks like.
Yeah, will fit. Yeah. That was a particularly foggy night, I think. So the lights are, light fixtures in the parking field are flat. Obviously, we've got a stacked bullseye now way over on the left side of the building. Main entrance is right at that one.
And you're proposing to move it from here to here.
That's correct. And then also to, in a new layout, though, where it would be a horizontal, what we call a horizontal lockup, which is, you would see in this. That's correct.
And the size of the bullet is going down, but the size of the writing is going up because the other writing was small to fit underneath.
Yeah, and we've got various lockups that we use where we manipulate the size of text versus bullseyes. And this, the particular magic on this one is that the top of the T aligns with the inner ring of the inner edge of the outer ring. So it's just a corporate standard for Target.
There's a very small group of us who think that kind of detail is awesome.
Seriously? Yeah, no, because on the program too, when you hit that certain spot, it shows you. You hit the top of this, or you hit it.
It's really neat. It's copyrighted, which is the magic for Target. So,
Has it always been in undercase lettering?
No, that's relatively new. You know, okay. We go through phases. Retail always goes through phases, and for a while we were just using bullseyes. Originally, we started out with uppercase letters and the bullseye logo. then we got ditched the text. But now, and I am a big fan of this, we're using lowercase text in a lockup with. Just looks to me, it looks friendlier.
What's the red banner that's there now?
The temporary open sign.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. You can't really say it's here, but it's a temporary now open part of, you know.
Kind of in the same location.
It would come down, and is it still up? Excuse me, just for a second.
Yes.
Is it? Yeah. Well, we'll take it down, obviously, because we need to put. We want to put up the main sign. So.
Okay, and so that's of the whole sign plan. That's the change.
That would be the change.
That's what you're here for.
That's correct.
Okay.
I guess one other thing was the existing signage came before you and it was approved as face lit. The OSP originally called out for the signage to be halo lit with external downlighting, but both the last proposal as well as this one is going with the face lit. So that's another change from the OSP.
But we approved the face lit last time.
Yes.
Right.
And square footage is larger as well, the overall square footage. It depends a little bit on how the square footage is calculated. And I think this creates it. If you start with a big box around the bullseye and you go and you enclose the word target as well, then we're over. If you create two separate boxes, and I'm not sure how the city calculates this, I'm just doing the math here, then we're actually okay in terms of square footage. But we would still be, the word target would still be higher than.
In the OSP.
Yeah.
Okay.
I still, from my standpoint, I look at a lot of stores, but I think the sign will remain fairly understated. It will continue to be white. Given the size of the building, I think it will look in proportion, and I think it will actually look correct now that it's centered over the middle of the mass of the building. So.
Sorry. Okay. All right. Let's start with questions from the board. Dennis, do you have any questions?
Sure. Thank you, Chair. Is the current sign, is the lettering on attached to the fascia of the arcade?
Yeah.
And so this is a change, so it's going to go up on the face of the building.
That's correct. The new sign will be a wall sign totally.
And why wouldn't you just move the existing sign to the new location?
Well, number one, I don't think the canopy letters out in front of the main sign works very well. Particularly when you see it from a slight angle, they don't line up. So I think that was a bit.
Oh, yeah, you can see that in the in this nighttime shot right here.
Yeah, it just looks odd.
So
right, because, but they would in the new location. They'd line up right on the drive aisle.
Right, as long as you're pulling in that main aisle, if you see
right,
it from
well,
the angle.
You're going to have that
from the sign,
any
yeah.
problems. So,
right, right.
So the intent was to not have them move or, as you say, be in alignment horizontally rather than vertically.
I think it will look better, yes.
Okay. All right, those are the questions. Thank
okay.
you.
Do you have any questions?
Questions, just comment.
Okay. Karis, do you have any questions?
No.
Alfred?
No, I will have a comment, though.
Okay. Why don't you go with comments?
So looking at your current sign, I see why you'd want to replace it anyway, because I think the letters are too small. So I'm actually fine with this.
Okay. Great. Karis?
Yeah, I have no changes.
Okay.
Oh, and great. Graphics.
No,
congratulations,
I'll
man.
Take credit
wow,
for it.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for that.
That was like, really good.
Here to...
And the nighttime shots and everything. Thank
yeah,
you.
You're welcome.
Jennifer, yeah. comments?
No, I don't have any problem with it.
Really? It's a big love fest? Dennis? Somebody yell at him.
So the logo is getting smaller and the font is getting larger. I just wanted to note that the font is getting 30% larger, which is, I think, quite a change. And the nighttime view shows that it really is quite visible at this size. I'm reluctant to approve it at this size, although I'm willing to go along with it. And then another side comment, I really appreciate how this client that has been so cooperative with the board and all of their presentations.
Noted. I think I'm okay with it. I know that when you take pictures in fog like that, you get a massive halo, and I think it would be a little bit less. And I appreciate the smaller target. I think, I don't know, given the size of that facade, I can live with that proportion. That works for me.
Yes, Chair, if I might, it would have been helpful to see a comparison. Mm. The existing one in the new location and the proposed in that location, so that people like Scott and I can really understand what the change is.
But I guess I'd be okay with that. All right. Somebody take a stab at a motion?
Propose we accept the proposed... Wait, no. I move that we accept it as proposed with the findings of our wonderful staff.
There you go.
Thank you.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay. Thank you, guys.
Excellent. Thank you. I'd just like to say we're tickled to be here. And, you know, it's taken a long time to be in Santa Barbara and Goleta, and we're very happy that we're here now. So.
Yeah, and I apologize for all my mom's letters to you guys about that.
Can people really not figure out how to get into the store?
You'd be surprised.
I think.
I mean, I've worked with a lot of fast food places, and those drive-through signs. You'd be surprised. Like, people will ask you, standing in front of a sign, "Is this where the drive-through is?"
That was the approved.
Do you have those guys' names and all that? Can you get them? I should have done. I forgot to do it, but if you could just find out who they are.
Yeah, you need a...
Okay.
Well, I better write that down. You hear that? Writing slogans for you.
Is that applicant here? Okay.
Thanks for your time. Appreciate
Thank you very much. Yeah, I can do that. Okay. We'll move to our next item.
Okay. Item C1 is design review. It's the one-stop shop lighting located at 7020 Cali Real, case number 19071 DRB.
Has everybody visited the site?
Site visit, no ex parte discussion.
Same?
Previous site visit, no ex parte.
Actually, let me clarify. That's what I meant. I haven't visited since the last time.
I had a site visit and an ex parte conversation today, 11/12/19, with Arthur Anyway, he was very nice, very kind, the clerk at the store, and he said that they close at 10 p.m., and that there is some transient populations that are around.
No additional site visit, no additional ex parte.
Okay. Mary, the floor is yours.
Okay, Chair. This is a continuance of a project that you looked at in August 27th. At that time, there were two light poles on the building and two additional light poles on the site in the parking lot. So the applicant is now proposing to remove the light poles on the building and add... There were four proposed light poles in the parking lot and two on the building. So now the proposal is to remove the two on the building and put six poles in the parking lot area. Two of the light poles will be located northeast, one will be on the west side, and three poles on the frontage of the property on the southwest. I'm going to let the designer go through what is being proposed. I did relay that DRB had considerations about too much, too bright, and so he can sort of pitch what they're doing and what kind of mitigations can be applied for towards DRB's consideration. And we did leave out also the DRB finding for neighborhood compatibility. So if there's resolution and moving forward with a acceptance of the plan, then we can suggest a finding language.
All right. Thank you. Grab the microphone and make sure that okay, it's on. So, and then introduce yourself.
Vasantha from Visual Image Designs. And they removed the lights on the building. Currently, they are removed. And last time, I believe they proposed, they requested 90 watts. But since I'm still proposing 100 watts on this one because they can reduce it, the lumens.
Can you explain what that means?
You know, you can get a compatible low voltage dimmer and reduce the lumens to 50% or 25%.
But that requires a 100-watt installation, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And they are proposing... Yes. And they are proposing six locations, but I'm open to your suggestions.
Okay. And is are you finished? I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm done. Pretty much...
Did you by chance bring a photometric of the lights on the site?
No, I didn't do that.
Okay.
He sent me an email, but I didn't, you know, I got it late, but I can do that, provide that for you if you need it, but, you know.
All right, well, before we begin, I have a speaker slip here. It's for this item, right? Yeah. Okay, Cecilia Brown.
May I just come up here?
Flip the mic around. Flip the mic towards you.
Thank you. I feel somewhat sorry for the applicant because they're trying, but what is being proposed are floodlights. They're not parking lot lights. Sorry. Floodlights look like, this is from guidelines that DRB has used for a long time. They look like this, and this is what these lamps look like someplace in here. I don't know where the thing is, but and you can see that the light is, it's not, the light isn't shielded. What happens is you can see there's some other lighting in here. I'm not sure even where it is. I have no idea where it's in here. But you can see that there's a lot of glare coming from the examples. And what happens is the lights need to be shielded. The other problem is that the light is not level throughout the parking lot. It's only in spots. And that's what happens when you use a floodlight, is for a very particular area. So it needs to be sort of standard throughout the entire parking lot. If you look at parking lot lights, say in Costco or in Marketplace, the lighting is even throughout here. And here it's sort of very glarish and as though it's a spotlight. So I'm thinking that you also need to know what the foot candles are. Oh, yeah. So they're... This is what a parking lot lighting should look like, and what you've got is not that. You've got things that are just very unshielded lighting that is not downward directed. In fact, it's outward directed. So, if you're concerned about dark sky issues, this project doesn't meet it, and I expect that the foot candles on the ground are somewhat pretty high, more so than parking lots of a size of this project. Anyway, okay, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Yeah. This one? Um, don't we start with questions on the other end, if you have any. Alfred, do you have any questions?
Yes. So what is your rationale for a 100 watt with a dimmer rather than just a smaller bulb? If you want to reduce the lumens, why not just start off with a light bulb with reduced lumens?
No, because, you know, I was open to, you know, your suggestion. So if you wanted to reduce the lumen, so he was, you know, asking for this lumen. So I was open for you to.
I think I made this comment at the last one as well. The manufacturer for those lights does list a 50 watt version of that bulb, of that light.
Okay.
And declares it to be suitable for a marketplace.
Okay.
So I'm looking for a reason why you need to go to 100.
No, I mean, originally it was proposed at 100 and 120, I believe. I'm not sure. Somebody else was doing it, 90. Yes. And I asked for 90, and they said I can't get the lumens. And I know the Calvin was a question regarding, you know, you didn't want too much Calvin.
You didn't want 5,000, yeah.
So that's why I wanted to get that and to get the lumens out if you wanted to, you know, if it's 14,000, you can lower to 7,000.
It would have been helpful if you were able to pull from the manufacturer's list, which is on the website, the choices, the options that you had,
okay,
and then indicated why you ended up at one that seems way bigger than is
okay,
necessary.
Okay, so are you okay with 50 watts? I mean, I'm okay with 50 watts too.
I don't know because we haven't seen the...
We'd like to see a photometric of how the result of the lighting on the site appears.
Okay.
It's kind of hard to determine, you know, whether, you know,
how
six
light
you, you know, you might need 8 poles, you might need 3 poles. We have no idea.
Okay.
Without seeing what the spread is and the wattage and the lumens can fluctuate, exponentially. We have we really have no idea what we're kind of throwing darts here.
Okay.
Again.
Right. And the last proposal, they were proposing shielding on the lights. Are you proposing shielding on yours?
Yes. 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 I think so. Yes.
You think so?
And it might be worth it to even consider your idea of do a photometric with the 50.
Okay.
And if you can get a 50 with a dimmer.
Okay.
You know, because they close at 10, so that means at 10 o'clock they're going to turn it down to 25%.
Okay.
Or, you know, if that's a possibility.
Yes.
If that is a possibility with the 50 watt, I would suggest doing the photometric probably of the 100 and the 50.
100 and the 50, okay.
Just so that you, if they have a dimmer, though.
Yes.
If they don't have a dimmer, I think people would rather have it.
50? What do you think?
Well, if there's a dimmer, if we can bring it down when they're not open, down to, you know,
25.
Very minimal, yeah, it would be best.
Well, and, you know, going back to the throwing darts comment, if we had the analysis of what a 50 watt, and I think you said it cannot have a dimmer, is that correct?
90 watts, but
you don't know about the 50.
I don't know about the 50.
Okay,
yes.
So what the 50 watt can do, what the 100 watt can do, whatever it is you want to zero in on, but show us why the other ones that have lower wattages don't work would be helpful.
And I think the photometric will also inform your placement. Like you might not want these three right next to each other there. You might want some on other places that need more.
How do you feel about, you know, proposing 6 here?
Again, I don't know.
No.
Because the site photometric, that's what I was saying. We don't know if 6 is enough or not enough or too much.
Yes.
I mean, we kind of, you know, your photometric will inform you of where the lights need to go on the site, and what kind of bleed they're going to have, what kind of spread.
Got it.
And with the shielding too, and being able to turn off. Sometimes you can turn off the back ones or the front ones, and make it so that it shines the lights for the neighbors.
If you could begin with a short description of what your objective is. Is it to light up all of the parking lot, or just the front of the building, or and
to minimize the glow that the neighbors will see. I don't know, staff, if you were able to find out who actually complained, like what direction from the existing lights. If we can find out who that is.
Only people on this side.
We don't know. I asked the question last time, and
it could be that floodlight.
All I know is somebody complained about about a light.
Yeah.
And because the other ones were installed and operating, and there was a complaint, but I don't know yet from what direction. So, and I think they were shielded. So, as much as we can get from you on what are you trying to accomplish?
Okay.
So then when we see what your options are and the one and why you selected the one you want, that would help us.
Got it.
And also, it seems like security is kind of an issue.
It is, yes, so yes.
That would be we understand that.
Yes.
Like, totally.
But I just want to back up a little bit and say, overall, I understand it seems to be the owner wants the brightest possible light that you could get.
Yes, yes.
But, to make it lit up like space, you know, like, and then we've said multiple times, like, it's too bright. Like, so just keep that in mind. Like, the consensus has been like, it has been so bright. And we keep asking for less, and they keep asking for more. It seems like every time we just go back and forth. So,
I will.
If the lights, if they can dim, that's great. But the highest amount of light should be like the max that we will accept. Like, I would never approve something with 100-watt light that you could dim, because we don't know that they're going to dim it and what hours they're going to dim it. So, I mean, you would have to start with the highest level and then be able to dim from there. But otherwise, just go for a smaller light would be my sense. And a photometric map for sure, because we can't really tell what's happening.
Dennis, anything to toss in?
I don't really have any argument with what other people have contributed. I do think it's unfortunate that we have this rather weighty submission with over 24 pages of information and no photometric map. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think when you come back, you know, we don't need all this. We want to know, you know, what your objective is, what fixture you're proposing, how it's dark sky compliant, its color, and then its analysis, the analysis of what's the wattage, what's the temperature, what's the, you know, a site photometric so we can see the spread and right location and see how it fits within the neighborhood.
And why a lesser option is unacceptable.
And also, if we could have like a conversion between the wattage and the lumens.
Okay.
You said 100 watt. I'm sorry, I didn't see it. 100 watt was how many lumens?
14,000? 14,000.
Okay. Well.
Okay.
Heat?
Yes, please.
Do we get a continuance to December 10th, if that's works for you?
Yeah.
Well, I'll make a motion to continue this to December 10th.
Okay. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Okay.
What do we? Oh, sorry.
Continuance.
Continuing
to December 10th. we've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
All right. Thank you. We'll see you in December.
Thank you.
Frequency. So the frequency, meaning the color of the light, attracts like different like bugs and stuff, it like makes bats crash into it kind of thing. Is that what you're saying? Like if it's red, it doesn't ruin your nightlight.
It's a brightness thing.
Okay, our next item.
From their bedroom, it's annoying.
Item D1 is for conceptual review. It's a new 60 megawatt battery energy storage facility and lot split, located at 6864 and 6868 Cortona Drive, case 19131 DRB.
Disclosures from everybody?
Site visit, no ex parte discussion.
I haven't visited the site since last time, and no discussion.
Yeah, no new site visit, no ex parte.
Okay, site visit, ex parte with a Ruben Burry over at the Restore, and I talked to the guys at the pub too, but they didn't have any comments. So that I just wanted to declare that the conversation was there, but nobody said anything. According to everybody that I spoke to, they said I thought it was already split.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Kathy, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Branch and members of the board. Let's see. So this is a proposal for conceptual review and of a new battery energy facility. The DRB saw this project or this property, a previous project for the same property. I think it was last October, so October 2018, mm-hmm. just over a year ago.
A year ago?
Yes, hard to believe, right? Wow. So since then, a whole new use has been proposed by the applicant. The project will still include the same lot split, so you don't have the tentative map before you today, but that will be forthcoming. The existing R&D building that's located at 6868 Cortona will remain. And the new project, as I said, is going to be for a 60-megawatt battery energy facility. The applicant will be submitting an application for a tentative map, for a development plan amendment, and then also a minor conditional use permit at a future date, probably fairly soon. The property currently has an existing plant nursery and also a pottery studio, which will be removed. And as I mentioned earlier, the existing R&D building will remain. The battery storage facility will include pre-manufactured battery cabinets and accessory substation, 22 new parking spaces. The energy facility will only need one of those 22 spaces, so the other 21 will be dedicated to the existing R&D building. They need the additional parking. The applicant, Laurel Perez of Suzanne Elledge Planning and Permitting, is here today, and she's the primary agent and team leader, and we have other members here today, too, who will give you a more detailed description of the project. I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Okay. Okay. Laurel, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Laurel Perez with Suzanne Elledge, Planning and Permitting Services. With me today is Tom Ray, Project Architect, Sam Mafis, Project Landscape Architect, and we have Ryan Hewlett, who's with Upstream Energy, Clean Energy, and he helps to represent the project before you.
Very
so,
good.
Yeah, just real quickly, I'm going to put this so that folks can see it on TV. As Kathy just explained, the project continues to involve the lot split between 6868 Cortona and what will become 6864 Cortona. This is the lot where the energy battery storage project is proposed. Really, our objective, I'll address that first question from the last presentation, is to visually screen this project. As Kathy explained, it's a 60-megawatt battery storage project. The site was located because of its proximity to the Isla Vista substation owned by SCE just across Stork Road. It's key to point out that the project will not have any overhead components, no overhead lines. The connection between the battery storage project and the Isla Vista substation will be below grade, underground, bored underneath Stork Road. The cabinets themselves are a Tesla product, so they're self-contained, prefab, as you heard.
Self-driving.
Straight up onto the
Sorry.
Site, put it in a park, and drop
Sorry.
It down.
You threw me a softball.
It actually, I know I did. It's actually not much more complicated than that. I mean, they literally come in, they get delivered on a prefab concrete slab, set onto the ground. The surrounding area is proposed as DG, so that we're trying to get as much permeable area on the property as possible. We're exceeding the landscape coverage requirement, both on a net basis, and you'll recall on this site it's a little challenging because the right-of-way for Stork Road comes all the way down that slope and into the really what would be the developable portion of that property.
I remember.
So we don't get to count any of that towards the landscaping requirement. But even without that, we're able to achieve over 30% net acreage for landscaping. Sam's going to really do the presentation on this one because it really is all about landscaping in this case and making sure that we are screening the project from surrounding property owners. And just, I guess, one other thing to add is that The capacity, the 60 megawatts of storage, is contracted with SCE to replace capacity that will be lost as natural gas, more traditional fossil fuel, gas supply power plants are retired. So we're moving into the future here with more clean energy and storage for the city of Goleta. I think with that, I'll hand it over to Tom, who can walk through the site plan and show you what these Tesla prefab cabinets look like.
Can we flip the mic around?
Sure. So here are these banks of the Tesla mega packs that they have. And one thing I was going to say is there's options on colors, and we, according to Ryan, so we can put in a more neutral color than a bright white. We still want it to be a light color so it doesn't gain any more heat, but that's something we can tone down the colors on that. These are transformers on each end. As you can imagine, power comes in and it goes out when it's needed, so the transformers are for that. We have a fire access road that comes in here and repair road, and we do have a scheme for or a way to put it so that it's totally onto our property here, so we're not going into the right-of-way at all. So that's going to be a little bit cleaner there. What we're really trying to do is really pull these away as far as we can from the new apartments that are going to go in here, Cortona apartments, and just make it just disappear, just be innocuous out here where it's just not something that people would notice that's there. You can see
Are there any EMF issues between that and the residential?
I would let Ryan could.
There's no EMF associated. Yeah, so there's no EMF associated with the facility because we're using lower voltages than what's used on like the high voltage transmission system. So we intertie at 66 kV, but all of our stuff is buried 34.5 underground. So there's no high voltage that would create any kind of EMF situation.
Cool. Great. All right. Thanks. Sorry to interrupt. Continue.
Yeah, so this facility was sited here because as California integrates more renewables, we need to balance the load. So what we're doing is we're generating a lot of renewable energy at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon when everybody's at work, and then they come home 5, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night. So essentially what this battery is doing is absorbing energy off the grid that's generated by renewables during the day, and then when everybody comes home 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night, turns on their air conditioning units, this facility would dispatch to meet that load.
So what's nice about this site though is that Stork is so high, much higher above it, that it's really, we've done some photo simulations to try to show. Yeah. Here we go. So these, I went up there and took the picture 6 o'clock in the evening. You kind of see, let me make sure I got the here. This is looking down towards the trees. Here we go. Now I see it. Here we go. This one and this one kind of match. Here's the existing with the pottery studio down here.
Your head,
is that a bald spot there?
Can you zoom out a little more?
See side by side, yeah.
There you go.
And that's what I mean. It's kind of why I went up there to take the pictures from these. So these are the existing trees that are mm-hmm. on the property line between the lots that are going to get created. This is a good example. These are going to be removed when we build the site as we spread it out. But these sycamores are, what would you say?
The ones that are down by in special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The ones that you're going to remove are similar size that
in the Pottery Barn. We have a scheme that will show how we're like kind sycamores and many other.
Okay.
And we're the other shot here. This is looking kind of towards the apartments. See the tops of some of the sycamores that are going to remain. The apartments are going to be over in this location here. What this one shows is pretty much close to install. So we've actually done, if I can figure out where she put it. There we go. Another one showing what this is really going to look like probably in about 20 years. Apartments are going to be blocked out.
I want you to speak in the microphone.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay. Keep my head out of it.
And this is the projected 20-year out?
Exactly, yeah.
But these are only about 8.
Right, that's correct. And these are just about 8 feet. And they kind of roll down the hill as on the site, so they're not all sticking up at too high of a height. That's what we're proposing, is 8-foot fence.
Oh,
okay, no, so and that's what we're looking at, is a fence like this. It would make it be difficult to get up over.
You can't get under them. They're all.
Would they be?
So the facility, even if somebody, so we're installing a non-climbable ornamental fence. If somebody were to get access into the facility, everything is locked. So even if they were to walk up to a cabinet, they wouldn't be able to open it. They wouldn't be able to close any breakers or anything like that. So everything is fully locked, and nobody, the public couldn't access it if they got in there. Yeah, this is a similar technology to what's called the Tesla Power Pack that are installed at schools and commercial buildings and things like that. So these are out there in the general public, and you can't access them if you walk up. Yeah, there's no live wires or anything like that can present some kind of shock hazard or anything like that.
Do they generate any noise?
They do generate a little fan noise when they're discharging and charging, just to cool the cabinets themselves. That's one of the reasons why they're painted white or light colors, just so it doesn't absorb solar radiation during the day. We have done a noise study as part of our submittal, and you'll see that at the project, we don't create any noise.
I think about one last word on the screening is, like, when I took these pictures, I actually had to kind of jump over the railing and go down the hill a little bit because mm-hmm. to get project from the bicycle lane there, you couldn't really see that much of it. So
you look over the top of it from Stork Road.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. You want to talk about the
Is the
landscaping?
Colored ones in this small packet?
Yes.
Okay. Let me see, because I have a large one that might help if we need it.
Yeah. Let's do the large one.
Okay.
That's always helpful.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I can start with this real quick. I just show you
the large ones we can actually read.
I don't have. I don't have this one in my large one. So. This shows the existing trees in the green that will be removed for the battery storage area. These trees here, these are parking lot trees. These are some cedars. These are mm-hmm. sycamores. These are the existing sycamores that will remain on this corner, which is the north line towards the apartments. So this parking lot area is going to be reconfigured. We have some parking along this edge that I'll show you, and then the mega packs are in here. So the large one, this is real helpful, and maybe I could use your pointer. Thank you. So again, these existing trees are Metrosideros and Malaleuca and olives in the parking lot, and they remain. This is a bank of olives that separate these two parcels that are very thick and dense and 30, 40 years old. This is that group of sycamores we mentioned that's over by M Special.
They will stay. We'll add another one here. These are other sycamores that we're going to add. And then this green indicates a live oak, the Quercus agrifolia, which on the property next door, we took time to talk to John Price and his group and looked at the trees that they're proposing. These are sycamores that they're proposing, so we're repeating those here. These are live oaks, and these are live oaks, so we're kind of blending across the property line, trying to make a continuity of the two properties. As opposed to a line along this wall that we're building, we're going to try to kind of blend it so it looks like kind of a park-like forest. The main big screening tree, which is adjacent to the apartments, its closest proximity to the property line, is the Cedar Deodora, and it's a very, very lush evergreen with a nice needle foliage that's very tall and thick. I brought pictures just to kind of recap what the trees we're using. This, again, is the live oak. This is the Metrosideros, the New Zealand Christmas tree, which we have on this property here, and I'm showing those with a little red flower that they have. So they're mixed in here to kind of overlap these big cedar deodoras so that we have almost a triangulation and a real overlapping of trees to create a real privacy for the third story, second story, and of course the ground floor. We also are using on this side the Umbellaria californica, which is the California bay laurel, and it's a very large, dense evergreen along this edge. So again, coming along Stork Road, looking down, you're not going to see this substation. You're not going to see this because of the size of the trees and because of the topography that's dropping down and flattening out. We're also,
the little ones in between.
These are Roos. This is Lemonade Fairy along the fence. And then we have Toyones as well. So we're creating kind of a large shrub mass as well as a tree above it. So Roos along this area here and Toyone in here, which already exist. We're going to keep some of them that do. You saw where they were worth the cedars. And then the other one that we're going to be using in this area, which is a native, the Catalina Ironwood, the Linothamnus. And that kind of is in that area, the site that had some, you know, Native American presence, and we're kind of using to commemorate some of that. We're also using the sycamore, which you know is an example of that. And then the main tree is this big cedar deodora, which is this grouping of evergreens right here. We really feel like we've taken into account the proximity of the residential unit, and we've buffered, as Tom had mentioned, with the additional setback, allowing for a double row and a combination of different trees and shrubs along this northern boundary line. We've accounted for Stork Road and the views over the property and certainly down onto the property and certainly from the parking lot with these live oaks, we feel like, in the Toya deer grass, we're not going to see. They're all very low profile.
I think it's at their highest point.
Over 8 feet.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Very limited security lighting.
Yeah.
We don't have a plan yet. I don't have the microphone.
Minimal security lighting, I think, right?
And it is all service shrouded lighting, and they need service. We are doing photometrics on that, so don't worry about that.
One thing to point out is it's an unmanned facility, so it's monitored from off-site. There'll be a repair person that comes to the site maybe once a month in a truck, which is why one parking space is sufficient for the project. But it is remotely monitored, so there are sensors and security and that kind of thing that can be monitored from off-site. We're working on a lighting plan, and we listened closely to your last review. We know that the lumens will be extremely low, fully shielded, directed downward to meet the night sky lighting requirements, but very minimal security lighting.
And your parking space
is, it's one of these.
Yeah, so
it's,
just,
these are the,
we have parallel parking along here, too.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Parallel.
And then 20 spaces are dedicated to 6868, the existing R&D building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay. Okay. All right. Is that it?
The only thing I was going to mention, I'm not sure if you had a chance to read Kathy's staff report on this. Staff has identified that the access road, a portion of it, is within the existing right-of-way. And so we've looked at a scenario that pulls completely, and it will function just great. So we will probably be submitting with something along those lines to address that concern.
Right away here, this is the creek. There's a creek there, yeah? Or is that coming straight down from the
Stork Road as it goes up to the overpass from the train?
That's the slope going up to Stork Road.
So there's nothing
low here and very high here. There's nothing here but
slope.
Yeah, you might run into trouble on the slope. But
so we're planting on the lowest part, and the toe of the slope is on the west side of all our planting.
Okay. All right. Well, it's pretty self-explanatory. Alfred, why don't you combine questions and or comments if you have any? It's pretty.
Okay. First of all, I'll disclose that I just had a Tesla Powerwall 2 installed at my house. I'm familiar with the batteries, but mine is a mere 13.7 kilowatts, which is and yours is going to be 4,000 times more, literally 4,000 times more capacity. And I will tell you that when they flashed mine up, I could hear the noise of the fan. So that is a concern of mine that you've got 4,000 times as much noise as mine make. I know that's not a fair comparison, but that's a big site. Is it true that could you put up the picture that shows the tops of the cabinets?
The plan?
Just
the,
one of your
the rendering?
Yeah, just one of your renderings that shows the top of the cabinets.
Is that one?
Yeah, I think that'll work. I think you had a better one. But
it shows the vertical height and then just the looking at the roof.
Now, it was the roof I wanted to see. So are those grills for the fans?
Yeah, so the fans are located on the top of the megapacks. The noise is directed upward. As part of the full submittal, we had Rincon consultants do a noise study, so they did a pre-project and then modeled it with the Tesla equipment for a post-project with the transformers. So you'll see that in our full submittal.
Okay. I like the all the trees that you're putting in, but given that the fans are on top and the fans won't be on all the time, are you not concerned about debris from the trees covering your fans?
Yeah, so the Tesla product is shielded in a way that debris matter can't get in the top of the fan.
So that rendering is inaccurate?
No, it's got a cage on top. So debris that's not where its intake is. That's the outtake. So if debris falls on top, the debris is going to be blown off.
Okay. In following up on a question before about if somebody does happen to get in to your plant and they are looking for a warm place to sleep and those fans happen to be going, that would possibly be an attractive nuisance. I mean, has there ever been an incident that you know of? This can't be the first installation of this. So has there ever been a concern about somebody just climbing up there to sleep on the vent for warmth?
I've never heard of anybody climbing on top for warmth. So it's a liquid cooled system. The fan runs a heat exchanger that transfers. They'd have to scale to the top of an 8-foot megapack. And it'd be if it was operating, it'd be a very windy place if they sleep on top of it.
So if it's very windy, it sounds like lots of noise. Sorry.
They're going to submit the noise.
We have a noise study. It's a robust noise study that we'll submit. Yeah.
I'll leave the noise alone. Sorry?
I would say, too, we have moved there more than 40 feet away from the property line.
Well, here's an off-the-wall comment. Have you ever considered, because it looks like at least for 15 years or 10 years, the people in the apartments are going to be able to look out their window and see the tops of these things. Any possibility of painting some sort of mural on that to make it look a little more attractive?
Can I?
Sorry. So I think what we would do is the Tesla product comes in a Tesla being who they are. It comes in a you know, white structure. I think what we would look to do is maybe tone down that white into a neutral color that blends in with the existing landscaping that's on.
I understand that. I just wanted to plant the seed that something attractive to the eye other than, you know, bland white that they have to look out on every day might be a nice thing to do. Last question. All these batteries, is there going to be any EV charging stations put in?
It's come up, but this may not be the best place for it, but Tesla's looking at other locations in Goleta.
Okay, yeah. Now he got me thinking. So I was thinking, would you guys consider some sort of screening just for the third story residents, because they will be down, and then he said, oh, well, what if you did some painting on it or something? That would be cool. I'm totally into that. The other thing too is this not a good place for solar? Like, those two products not combined, is that bad?
Yeah, so
because it seems like there's a lot of space. It's all open. It needs to be screened.
So this is, the site's about 2 acres net. I think it's slightly less than 2 acres net. This is a 60 megawatt facility. So if we were to couple this with solar to be able to charge a 60 megawatt battery, we need about 300 acres.
But you don't need a charge. You don't need all 60 megawatts. I mean, whatever this site would produce is something.
Yeah, but I think to get the 30% landscaping, I don't think we could put enough solar on it to make a sizable dent in being able to charge a 60 megawatts. What we may be able to do is offset some of our station service. And by station service, I mean kind of auxiliary load from convenience electrical and things like that. But I think we'd have a difficult time making any kind of sizable impact on being able to charge 60 megawatts.
Okay, if you're brief, I think we're getting off topic because I don't think we're voting on any of this. That would be my suggestion then, is consider maybe an overhead screen or something. If we can get anything out of it, that'd be great. If not, just so they're not looking on this. But I think it's amazing and wonderful, and thank you. I've been so happy.
Good.
Welcome.
Craig. How are you?
Good to see you. No side visit, no ex parte.
Oh yeah, thank you.
I have generally positive comments. Actually, I thought that, you know, we're here for design review comments, and design of a mega pack and a substation is sort of utilitarian, obviously. But so the answer is the treatment with the landscape, and I thought that you've done a very nice job with the landscaping. The screening, you know, I'm sort of two minds. I don't want to be insensitive, but you're building apartments essentially in an industrial zone. You probably should expect to see industrial aesthetics. So it doesn't bother me that much in this certain location anyway. But yeah, like I said, the landscape plan seems entirely appropriate, and I can support it.
Dennis?
Sure. I must initially bemoan the loss of the previous project, which I thought was a little brilliant, and this doesn't quite live up to that standard.
Me too.
Good. So we have some agreement.
Yeah, we do have consensus on that.
So, Sam, could you describe this 8-foot-high no-climb fence? I don't see that anywhere in the drawings. Could you tell us more about what that is? I see. So it's an ornamental no-climb
on this
fence.
Outside and around where we can. There's no gate. There is a gate here, excuse me. So that no-climb means you can't get your foot on anything horizontal, so you're struggling to get up something like that. And it
on the
does boundary.
Sorry to cut you off, but on the east side, Sam, where is the fence?
Right here, Tom.
Is it,
yeah, so
is
it's down at the bottom.
Yeah, but which side of the trees?
So
it's on the outside.
On the east side.
Yeah. So it's on the perimeter of the
perimeter of the property.
Perimeter of the parking lot. And then the parking spaces, 8 through 22, those are open circulation to all the businesses there?
All of this.
All of that, right. Thank you. So what do the transformers look like? The 7-foot transformers on the end, are they similarly white boxes or are they, you know, there's no description of them.
So those would be painted the same color as the megapacks. So they'll be consistent. You'll see, it'll just be the megapack and then a transformer at the end of the aisle. Same color.
Well, on that point of painting them, and this is to add on to the mural idea, perhaps they could be painted assortment of light-colored beiges and creams to not look like just so many identical row and row if there was some breakup. And that would work on the top, too, if there ever is a vision across. But just to break that up a little more, I think you understand what I'm driving at. A range of colors that are different, but that would not be heat gain. And then I would suggest on those, what would be eastern trees that border the parking lot, that you bump up some of the sizes, Sam, to 36, 42, and maybe even 60, so you get an arrangement of different sizes rather than just a 24 box and crossing your fingers for a few years. It would be nice to have some fully grown ones because I know the M Special Brewing Company is quite an assembly space, and I think as a good neighbor, you could do as much as you could to get some mature landscape in to ameliorate that view. Not, they don't all have to be big boxes, but I think a few would be a good idea. I don't know when the housing's going to go in at if. And then finally, perhaps you could talk to Mr. Price about getting some of his lovely collection of boulders and working them into your landscape plan rather than being so reliant on grass.
I'm so happy you mentioned that. Isn't that if you
we
look
love
at
boulders.
If you look at each of these little smiley kind of crescent shaped smiley faces, these are little rock tree wells,
very
so
good.
That they're creating as level a space for the plant to get good water. So we're using them along this slope. And I'd be happy to use them in the field, and we have DG in the ground plane, so there's a gravel park-like feeling on
a
the ground.
A few feature boulders, especially where it intersects with the public areas, I think would be a good touch, too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I concur with everything. I was going to say that exact thing. If you did an array of, whites and light tans on the top of those things, I think...
Camo pattern, like mulchy, like
almost, yeah. I mean,
it's
kind of like DG. Eventually, anyway, you know what I mean. So
there is one thing that happens: is these little squares here don't happen. Oh, I'm sorry. They don't happen at the beginning of the project. These are augmentation packs that come in as these batteries start to not hold as much degradation.
Yeah.
So the original. When the screening's lower, there's not going to be as much stuff on the site as there will be when the screening's
taller. Oh, I see
taller.
Where you're going
that. Yeah.
I was waiting for the shoe to drop me and say, those are red.
Yeah.
With red
no, no, I got you. I got you.
Yeah.
Are those shown in the site sections, the augmentation blocks?
They are.
Yeah. Okay. They're infilling gaps. I see.
Gaps.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I only have positive comments about this. I think you guys are, this is a great way, to not have substations anymore with the wires and everything everywhere. This is great. This is great. So I'm totally supportive of this. We're here just for conceptual, so any other comments from anybody? Okay.
Great. Thank you very much.
Positive
appreciate
comments.
The comments.
Fantastic. Thanks.
All right. With that, any announcements from any members? Nope. All right. With that, we're adjourned.
How did the other two go?
What a lovely world this is.
one.